Hey guys, what's going on? It's your host, your boy, George Mackay. The reason why Rob is laughing is because I just slapped myself to wake up. Yes, that's right. It's been a long week, but it's Thursday, and Thursday means it's Fusion Day. So welcome to us on YouTube. If you're watching on the Straight Talk YouTube page, thank you very much. Please hit that like and subscribe button to keep following all the content that MLW does, as well as Straight Talk does with myself and the mini host with her five questions. If you're listening to us on Sunday night's main event, Patreon and Feed, welcome. And if you're listening to us out there in Radio Land, welcome. I am your host, your boy, George Mackay, who just slapped himself twice. Yes, and that will not be a clip that anyone will see, but it'll be there. And I never do this alone. I always do this with my PIC, my podcast life partner, the one and only Uncle Bobby B. Salud.
Salud with the coffee, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I enjoyed this episode. I'm not going to lie. I think we'll have a debate at the end. And I feel like we should be debating more because as much as we love the MLW product, it's okay every once in a while to point out things you may not like just as a wrestling fan. So I feel like this is something that we have to do. And if you enjoy our banter, then you understand that sometimes there's things we don't talk about. We don't talk about Becca anymore because it's infuriating.
We talk about Becca all the time.
Rob talks about Becca all the time. And unfortunately, we do have a lot of Becca to talk about in this episode. We'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, the opening segment, as they always do so wonderfully and so well, MLW does a recap of how we got to tonight's Opera Cup final. We go through the matches, some highlights of both Tracy Williams and Davey Boy Smith Jr.'s journey to the finals as they are facing each other in the Opera Cup final main event tonight. It's a very cool, very sleek, very 1 minute long opening segment, which was great. And we didn't have a lot of promos to kick this off, which is weird. Usually we do get a promo or two. Now we went right into the old wrestling ring. That's right. RSP versus Jacob Fatu for the open weight strap. This was a good one. This was a very good one. And RSP, that's Ricky Shane Page, if you don't know, he didn't come out alone. He came out with Raven, a couple of the gas mask goons, and Mandy Leon, who is the newest member of the calling. She's been around now for about a month, but she still is the newest member of the calling. This match, I got to be honest, man, it was really innovative. One of the ways that they did some of the stuff that everything once was old is new again. I really enjoyed that triple spring moonsault that Jacob Fatu does on Ricky Shane Page. He does that move all the time, but every time he does it a little different. And this time he did do it a little different where he actually, instead of landing on a top rope with his ankles to brace him, he actually landed on his butt and flipped over from his butt into like a sitting position, which was fucking dope. I also like the yin yang thing. Matt Stryker pointed out that Ricky Shane Page did with the chair. Took two steel chairs and lined them up side by side, you know, seat to seat. And they were laying on their side. And Ricky was going to use that to his advantage. But nah, the tables got turned. And a Samoan drop from Jacob Fatu right dead center on those chairs. Oh. And they did not buckle.
Not at all. Ricky landed back first and just stopped dead. I winced watching that. But like you said, this match was great. I had a lot of energy from these two big men. I really like, I dare say, like when I would watch Jeff Hardy anytime over the years and watch him do a swanton and how close his head is while he's still vertical before he actually flips it, I dare say Jacob Fatu is pretty much on par. Like, and especially considering he's a lot bigger, that kind of precision in the air is so impressive. Really enjoyed. I knew this was going to be a good match. Like you said, it was innovative because two guys who have good minds for wrestling. So it was a banger. But continue your analysis of it as I wrapped up mine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also love the tattoo needle. The old school tattoo needle, or the 9-inch nail, if you will, that Ricky used to poke the nerve endings of Jacob's bare feet, because we all know Jacob Fatu does not wrestle in boots. He wrestles in wraps. Did that. And then on top of that, sticking that nail into Jacob's cheek. And I mean, you could see that Ricky was taking care of him, but the great sell from Jacob Fatu was phenomenal on that. And then Ricky taking a chunk literally out of Jacob Fatu's foot after damaging it, goes to bite the big toe. And I've never had my big toe bitten, and I hope to never have my big toe bitten.
That's but that did look painful. Tells me.
Well, you know, every once in a while we do get a little, you know, we get experimental, if you will. But listen, that was accompanied by a "you sick fuck" chant, which is always great to hear from any wrestling fan in any wrestling show. I just loved it. The only thing I didn't like about it, was the finish, but there are reasons why. And as soon as the finish happened, I knew exactly what they were doing. So the finish was a shove by Ricochet and Paige on the referee, therefore causing a double disqualification, if you will. Both men disqualified from the match, and they continued to brawl right up to the stage, being separated. And I will say this, I enjoyed Raven giving you that serious Raven face, but not getting involved and even holding the gas mask goons back at a few times, because that showed how serious this match was. Almost like Raven telling the rest of the calling, even though you may think Ricky doesn't have it, he's got it. So let's just let it play out. And I enjoyed that. And I'll explain why the finish, where the finish is going, actually right in the next segment, because they announced it almost immediately after. But Rob, what did you think about, I mean, you talked about the innovation and stuff like that, but even Jacob going around the ring and like looking over his shoulder at the calling, but them not really getting involved with anything, even when he was right in front of them looking for the table, nobody got involved. And I thought that was an interesting twist, because usually when you have somebody on the outside, they're always getting involved, whether they want to or they don't. They usually end up getting involved in the match. I thought this was an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, and we talked about it before. Like, Jacob Fatu, aside from the Samoan SWAT team, really doesn't have the numbers that the calling has. So it was interesting to see how it was going to play out. And from, I guess, a booking perspective, with Raven making a conscious decision to hold everybody back, it also explains why they all didn't get involved, because they easily could have outnumbered him and just annihilated him. So I thought that was a cool little way to do it. And I kind of lost my train of thought, as so often happens. It's a symptom of ADD. But setting up for the... Go ahead, George. What's coming next? Yeah,
the announcement down the line. But before the announcement, I do have to talk about the Sam Laterna with Tracy Williams. Hot sauce. He did a really good promo. He sold me on the fact that he is one of the most professional wrestlers. And a lot of people don't see professional wrestling for what it is. This is a quote right from Tracy Williams. They're attracted to the pageantry of it all. But Davey Boy Smith, he sees it like I see it. And this is me speaking as Tracy. He sees it like I see it. Tracy's got one goal in mind. His goal is to walk in and then walk out this year's Opera Cup champion, no matter how good his opponent may be. You know, his intensity was there. He is very eloquent in the way he spoke. No stuttering, no hums and haws. He believed it so much that he made me believe it. And I love the fact that he talked about how people get involved with wrestling, or they fall in love with wrestling, because of the pageantry. But everybody forgets that one key word. It's pro wrestling. A lot of people forget the wrestling part and are more into it for the storylines or for the pageantry. And that's kind of it, even though wrestling is so pop culture right now, and it's back at the forefront like it was much in the Attitude Era 20 plus years ago, a lot of people forget that the Attitude Era had a lot of pageantry, didn't have a whole ton of wrestling. So now we're getting more into the actual art form of it all, which was forgotten for a long time. But I don't know. Am I on the same wavelength here in the thought process that I have from Tracy's promo?
Yeah, and I fully agree with you. It was very, like, I felt that promo. No ums and ahs, but it also didn't sound rehearsed. It sounded like he was just speaking from the heart. So I liked it. Tracy Williams cuts a good promo just based off of that. Very enjoyable. And like I said, the conviction, which is a word I always use. Because if you're not feeling it when you're saying it to me, how am I supposed to feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the conviction's not coming from you, I'm not getting any. So Tracy Williams did a fantastic job here. And we'll get to the match a bit later on. But definitely set a tone for Tracy Williams coming into that.
Absolutely. And now the big part of the fallout from the Fatu Ricochet and Paige match. Fury Road has another match added, and it is Jacob Fatu versus Ricochet and Paige for the openweight title. But it is bringing back the weapons of mass destruction match. That's right. Yes. We all remember the first one. We all remember the Anthrax. And this is going to be entertaining as hell, because you know what? The first one was surrounded more around Contra and Mads Kruger's character. But this Weapons of Mass Destruction, this is going to get dark. And what I would love to see is some more homage being paid to the Samoan heritage. I'd like to see some of their weapons of battle that they use. And I'd like to see some of the stuff that they use when they prepare for wars, right? So I like some of the old school Polynesian stuff. I'd like to see that incorporated if it's possible. Sure. And I'd also, I would not mind seeing Jacob Fatu, you know, come out and do the fucking the Usos like war dance that they used to do, right? Because that's something from their heritage. I wouldn't mind Jacob Fatu going all out with it and being like, yo, like, I'm Samoan, man. We're built for this. We're built for fighting. So I'm going to come at you with everything. And we know the calling is going to have some special shit lined up for this one, 150%. This match is right in Ricky Shane Page's wheelhouse. So I almost feel like the calling is going to be well prepared for this match.
Guys, I don't know if you're MLW, if you're listening, if this has been filmed already. I don't know. But honestly, like last one, I certainly enjoyed it. I had a good cackle at the Anthrax. I thought it was one of the most absurd yet great things I had ever seen. So surprise us this time. Something different than Anthrax, but equally as absurd. That's what I want to see. I want to see something.
Smallpox in a box.
Somebody gets a bunch of test tubes, you know, that are labeled with some infectious disease smashed on their head. Like, they got to go all out with this one because it's hard to top Anthrax.
Test tubes with, like, rabies or something, you know what I mean? Like, just go real dark with it.
Oh, my God. Rabies Shane Page.
There you go. Rabies Shane Page. I love it. All right, but that's the next match that's been added to Fury Road along with the rest of the card that we've gone over and over and over again. But don't forget to check out MLW.com if you want to know who's on it. I'll give a quick rundown, but it won't be as passionate as it has been before because we've talked about this card as it literally is now 2 weeks away. But you got Kane versus Mac. You got Becca versus Ito. You got Cardona versus Mance Warner. You now have Ricky Shane Page versus Jacob Fatu. And I feel like I'm missing something. Am I missing something?
Probably, but it's shaping up to be a hell of a card.
Hell of a card. Absolutely going to be better. And guys, like I said, Fight Plus, $7.99. You can't beat that price point. And you get all the library of content that they have on top of getting MLW stuff. So, I mean, you really can't compete with that price point. Fight has probably one of the best streaming services when it comes to pro wrestling, aside from independent wrestling TV. That's 100% for sure. Also, we get a promo for Matt Cardona. He's in his pool. He's working on his tan. He's chilling. He's doing his thing. And he wants Mance to know, listen, he's got no heat, no beef. This is not personal. This is business. It's money. And it's cool. And that's it. He's all about the money, the buzz, and everything that comes with it. He's coming to MLW for the money. He said money a lot in his promo. For the money and for himself. He is a major player. And he's going to walk in and out of Fury Road a winner. You're going to kiss his foot. You're going to kiss his foot.
Kiss his foot.
Yes. You're going to kiss his foot. And that's just going to be at Mance Warner. According to Matt Cardona, that's the way things are going to happen. Rob, what did you think of Matt Cardona's promo as he was working on his tan?
I think for his MLW run, he should be billing himself as Money Matt Cardona. Just saying, because it would fit with the amount of times he said money during this. But typical Matt Cardona promo. And it's like, I like him. And yet I still wanted to hate him after watching this. And that's just a testament to how good he is at making you hate him, which is the heel's job. So I'm excited for this kiss my foot match. Cause I don't know. I feel like Matt might be kissing foot. Some foot.
Absolutely. There's going to be a whole lot of
kissing foot.
Food kissing when it's all said and done. MLW is going to make a special announcement next week, so stay tuned for that one, guys. We don't know what the special announcement is, but I'm sure you have a theory. Go ahead.
I do have a theory, as a matter of fact.
All right.
Because it caught my eye earlier in the episode. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, bear with me one moment. I just happened to pick this up the other day, and I'm sure you'll get where I'm going with this. It's the time circuits from Back to the Future, which they showed a little earlier on in the episode indicating Fury Road and upcoming events. But the bottom one had a Japanese flag on it. So I'm thinking MLW might be going over to Japan or something involving Japan.
I would love to see another run with Dragon Gate. I absolutely would. I think that would be dynamite. So
I think it'd be great. Like if you know, Alex Kane, I would love to see him get over to Japan. A lot of the roster, that would be super cool. Even if, you know, not everyone's going, if a bunch of them go, that would be awesome. Whether it's with Dragon Gate, whether they don't go to Japan, but there's another cross promotional. I don't know. But my theory is it's something to do with the Land of the Rising Sun.
Interesting. I also was going to make that theory as well. So we both caught the flag. I mean, I thought the time circus thing was really cool. If anything, I was thinking just because of the time circuits and because of his heritage and where he's from, I was thinking we may get at a point. Fuck, what's his name? The dude from fucking Impact, the guy that dresses like Marty McFly.
Oh, Kushida.
Yeah, okay. So at a point, George, at a point. I was actually thinking, based on the Japanese flag and the time circuits and the fact that this wrestler dresses a lot like Marty McFly, I was thinking maybe we might get Kushida. In MLW. That's what I was kind of thinking. I would love to see Kushida versus Alex Kane, and Impact has allowed some of their roster to come over. We saw TJP was a fixture in Impact or in Impact and MLW for a long time at the same time. So I wouldn't mind that at all.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. So let's see where that goes. But anyways, we go on to the next match of the card, which is featherweight action. It's for the featherweight strap. It's Delmi Exo, the God Queen, versus Paris Von Dole. And Paris Von Dole, don't know much about her. She came out rather heated to the crowd, I would say. They must know her. She must be local because there was a lot of booze. So
she
not
was cocky.
She was cocky. She was cocky and confident, which is good. And right before Delmi comes out, we're backstage with her and Sam talking about the match, talking about Paris, and she's interrupted by none other than Becca. Becca says that Delmi should not be champion because she is an international pop sensation. Delmi takes the mic from Sam, who slyly steps out of camera view. I will give Sam credit. When she's not wanted, she leaves. She knows that this is not a moment for her. So she's going to step aside. She's going to let the ladies figure it out. Because Sam Laterna's like, I'm not dealing with this shit. I don't have time for this. She doesn't have time for it. So she steps away, and Delmi's right up in Becca's face and said, when she's ready, I did laugh at this part, to give up this delusion, she could step up. Until then, Delmi is the face. Delmi runs the featherweight division. And that's it. Delmi leaves because she's called out to go to the stage. She hands the mic over to Becca, who gets right up in the camera's grill and says, delusion? Like, she's not fucking delusional at all?
She's not. Are you out of your mind?
Are
delusional
you
out of, how?
Rob, stop this nonsense. She's not
delusional
talented.
How?
She's not talented.
Have you heard Hot Summer Fun?
I have. And it sounds like a fucking train. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like Rebecca Black Friday. That's what it fucking sounds like, dude.
Rebecca Black wishes she had an ounce of the talent that B3CCA has, buddy.
Fucking God. You actually
said
B3CCA. You said it. You said it.
That's right. I said it.
Oh,
you give a musician their due respect. All right.
First off, pop music is not music. Most of it is auto-tuned and written by somebody else. She doesn't write her own music. Rob.
Becca plays guitar and she does write her own
music. Okay,
well,
you know what? She may play guitar, but she doesn't have one. And I'll get into reasons why in about 30 seconds.
Doug gave her one last week.
Okay,
from Spain.
Anyways.
Imported.
Okay. All right. I'm so over everything about you and Becca. You are delusional as well. You are delusional. 100%. Okay. All right.
I am not delusional.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this match was quick. It was really not much of a fight from Paris, I'll be honest. She had a couple chops, but that was it. Delmi hits the driver within about a minute and 14 seconds, and it's over. This match was finished in under 2 minutes, and as Delmi walks out of the ring, back turned towards the ring entrance, she's got the title up. She's all smiles. Becca runs out, gives her a forearm shot to the back. Then as Delmi's on the ground, she takes a guitar, and she slams it across Delmi Exo's head. Then, rather cocky, but I will give Becca credit, she did look good hoisting up that featherweight title. She looked like she was poised and ready. But the problem is that Becca has to get through Ido first. And that's not, Rob, I don't give a shit how much you I respect your in-ring ability, but Ido is a tall mountain to climb. You can't say that she isn't. You can't.
I'm not, but international pop stars climb mountains like they're, you know, eating breakfast. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And Becca's climbed a lot of anthills on her way to rock
she
bottom.
Has overcome adversity on her way to the top of the charts.
Are you she's what
she
charts,
has
Rob?
Become
what charts is she topping?
Number one contender. She's number one in our hearts.
Okay. All right.
All right. She's number one on the charts. That's a lot of number ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what more do you want me to say here? I'm just giving you facts.
You're not giving facts. You're
stupid.
Just...
ugly. Useless.
You fucking...
pick one. Because right now, you're all three, and it's doing nothing for me.
All right, 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 right. All right. Well, you know what? Rob looks like a lot of the background players in the movie Deliverance. So maybe Beck is hot out there in Deliverance land. I'm not sure.
Deliverance.
Yes, you squawking all. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not Burt Reynolds. You're not John Voight.
You're damn right I'm not Burt Reynolds or John Voight.
Dude, Burt Reynolds in the 70s, that guy was like top tier, bro.
I once owned a Chrysler LeBaron that was owned by John Voight.
Did you really? Fuck off. Did you?
No.
Really? No. Like Ronald Reagan also came to your 6th birthday party too, eh?
I had you going there though.
For a split second, I was like, really? That's a pretty odd fact. All right, cool.
Man, if I could find a LeBaron convertible in good condition, I would drive it.
No, it's not. I will give you credit. The LeBaron, like you said, convertible was.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. No, I'd have to.
The LeBaron hardtop was not a nice car.
The door is ajar.
All right. So we all know that this is going to lead Becca and Delmi to one hell of a feud. And I am all here for it. I am all here for it because I think Becca brings out the best in Delmi. When Delmi was cutting the promo on Becca, she seemed very loose. She seemed very comfortable. I almost feel like these two bring out the best in each other. And I think the chemistry will definitely carry over into the in-ring. So I'm looking forward to this feud, regardless of who's a chart topper and who's not. I'm looking forward to this feud. Now we move on to an Alex Kane promo. Exact same promo from 4 weeks ago after winning at Never Say Never. This was the promo that was used after the very first fusion. So all I could think here is that somebody in editing fucked up large. This was the same promo he cut when it was announced that Willie Mack would be his opponent for Fury Road, calling him the Grimace, saying he doesn't take it seriously. This is word for word the same promo. So I'm not even going to get into our thoughts because we've done our thoughts 4 weeks ago. You can go back and watch that episode. But somebody in editing, they fucked up. I get
or
it.
Or they needed an Alex Kane promo. They didn't have one and they decided to just reuse one. But I feel like the editing was maybe more the likely explanation there.
Yeah, I feel like it was too, because it just didn't even fit. Didn't even fit into the episode at all. So it made it weird. Sometimes it's best to let the champion have a week off. And I almost feel like they didn't need a promo from Alex Kane because he's done enough talking. I believe we're at the stage where time for talking is over. Let's just get to this match, which we know is going to be a fucking banger.
Well, before Willie Mack gets to that match, he's got to go through a scramble next week.
Yes, he does. He has to go through a scramble, which will be good because I think Willie Mack thrives under pressure. I mean, yeah, say what you want to say about Willie Mack, but we've seen Willie Mack in these situations before, and he always shines in those scramble-type situations, literally and figuratively.
Like, yeah, he's got that good, really good ring awareness that you need in a scramble match. And so I agree. He thrives in those kind of situations, for sure. It'll be a good match.
100%. And now it's main event time. That's right. It's time to crown 2023's Opera Cup champion. This match for me, I'll be honest with you, was okay. It was very tactical as expected. I did like the power bomb leading into the... At first, I thought the ref fucked up, but then I went back and rewatched in slow motion. Tracy did get his shoulder up. He got it up just enough where it was recognizable to obviously a referee in the ring. So I believe the ref did make the right call. But at that point, he was reeling. He was out, in my opinion, and Davey quickly put him in the crossface, which is the same move that Davey put on Brian Pillman back in 2019 when they brought the Opera Cup back for the first time in 7 years. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool that he used the same move to win. Again, the match was blah for me. What was better for me was the after-the-match promo celebration between him and Saint Laurent. Saint Laurent saying that he wishes that they had won this in Calgary or in Alberta, which is the same province, really. But that's fine. St. Laurent doesn't know his Canadian geography. That's okay. Instead of a third world shithole like Philadelphia and saying that the women in Philadelphia are questionable at best, to which Davey gave the best reaction ever. Well, that was great. It was so good. And then Davey with some great quotables, and I never thought I'd say this, but I will say this. But Davey... putting him with Saint Laurent was the best, but also giving him this heel thing, I think it's working for him in terms of his freedom, and he feels a lot more relaxed instead of forcing out those good guy promos. But saying that when you're all giving me your longest finger, it's because you're telling me number one. And I'm looking around here, and all I see is inbred assholes. So I thought, you know, that was impressive. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And to me, in all honesty, the after match promos were way more entertaining than the match itself. The match was technical, but it was slow. And in a lot of ways, for me, there was a lot of lulls, a lot of low points. And maybe just because the chemistry was off. We've seen this before where some wrestlers just don't gel. And I honestly think Davey's best match in this entire tournament this year was without a doubt the match he had with Calvin Tankman. That's a final. That's a match I would have loved to see as the final, personally.
I agree, but you know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of matches, especially these days, where you could watch a reel of some of just the high spots and pretty much get the whole gist of the match. With this one, I was really glued to my screen because it was like every single thing that they did, there was almost like a reason for it. And there was really good psychology and working injured parts. And so I actually really enjoyed it. But I mean, technical wrestling these days is very much a throwback. But both of these guys, it's their style. They are wrestlers. So they had a wrestling match. And I mean, yeah, different strokes for different folks. Like, taste is subjective. And I'm not saying it was objectively good or it was objectively bad. I enjoyed it personally. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, and I didn't say it was subjectively good or
bad. No, you didn't. Okay. You certainly didn't. But yeah, it was and like you said, the end, the post-match promo. I do hope they bring the Opera Cup to Canada. Toronto or Montreal are big markets, gentlemen. Get yourselves up here and Straight Talk and SNME and Uncle Bobby B and George Mackay will take care of you. We would love to see MLW in Canada.
Absolutely, 150%. We've been pushing for a while. So hard, in fact, that I will say that literally 3 days after this airs, Alex Kane will be making his Canadian debut at one of the promotions that I'm affiliated with, Dusty World Wrestling. And I've been pushing for that for a while. So I'm glad that the promoter, president, kept his eye on, I guess, when I put the bug in his ear. He'll deny that he did, but he did. I put the bug in his ear a few times. And that's fine. I'll let somebody else take the credit. I know where the bug started from, 150%. But all in all, I enjoy this. I enjoy this this episode, much like I do every MLW episode, because when everything's blah, it's still great in a lot of ways. And there were two great matches on this card, or actually one great match, one very disdainable squash match, and one match that was okay. And that's it's okay. Like Rob said, it's okay, different strokes for different folks. Now, I will say this. When we had the cage wrestling match with Davey Boy Smith and Alex Kane, I thoroughly enjoyed that one. So, I mean, that was very technical as well. So, again, I guess it just, for me, it just depends on the story that was being told. And I guess this story and me weren't just jiving today. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
It is. That's one of the beautiful things about pro wrestling is there's so many different styles. There's so many different wrestlers. No matter what you like, there's somebody out there that's doing it. So we don't need to sit there and complain or put people down because we're too busy, you know, worrying about the stuff we actually like and promoting that stuff.
Absolutely. And the one thing we do disagree on is the talent level of certain people's singing voices. That's it.
Yeah, like yours.
I'm not an international pop star.
You got that right.
Fucking know it. But unlike somebody who has a delusion, I know it. I'm not delusional.
Go look at Spotify, bud. She's on the charts.
Okay, great. She's on the charts. So what? Fuck. That guy from American Idol. She bangs. That guy was on the fucking charts, Rob. He had no talent.
He's an international pop star.
Oh, my God. All right. This is definitely going to be the clip for the show. I need aspirin. Like, stat. This is so infuriating.
Stat? What are you in? Are you in an OR?
Yeah. Yeah. You're fucking annoying me. To no avail.
Scrub in before you get that aspirin.
All right. You know what? Why does it always have to go there with you and the aspirin? Listen, okay,
I said aspirin, not ass cream.
Oh, I thought you said ass cream. I was like, what the fuck?
No, you said I need two aspirin.
I said Advil. I said Advil.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Now you need ass cream. Yeah. Yeah. Me plus migraines, it's the worst.
It absolutely is. It's infuriating at best. All right.
Listen to some Becca. It'll cheer you up.
So I'm just going to, can I just, is there a way to mute you? Yes, there is. All right, guys, that's it for this one. Peace, love, and wrestling. We'll see you guys next time. Becca has no talent. Peace.